Mark chapter number 14. There, say amen. Let's look down at verse number 26. Mark 14, verse number 26. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee even in any wise. Don't you get this next phrase? I have read no telling how many times and never seen it. We've all heard how that Peter denied the Lord and how that Peter boasted and was prideful and said, I'd die with you before I deny you. Oh, we just read. But look at this last phrase. Likewise also said they all. It wasn't just Simon Peter who was cocky and prideful and arrogant, but all of them had this air about them that they thought they would never, ever deny the Lord. And so I want to preach for a few minutes this evening on never say never. Never say never. And hypocrisy ain't hard to find. if you went out to search for it this evening, you wouldn't have to leave this room to find it. You, matter of fact, when you get home, you won't have to leave your living room to find it. We're all guilty at one point or another of being hypocritical. And if you've ever invited people to church and said, we'd love to have you come down to Morningstar Baptist Church and join us. And if you ask more than three or four people, and you may not even have to get that many before you'll hear this. I ain't going to church down there. There's too many hypocrites. You ever heard that? Church. And that's true. The church is too full of hypocrites. But you know what I tell them? I'd rather go to the church with them than go to hell with them. Because hell's going to be full of hypocrites too. Also, Hardee's is full of hypocrites. The grocery store's full of hypocrites. And that don't stop you from going there. So might as well not stop you from going to church. But if you think about hypocrisy, and I thought about just the forest or the woods, any great stretch of woods or a forest, you'll find these big old trees, and they tower so high above the other trees, and they appear to be the very picture of strength and maturity. Been there a long, long time, tower over the others, and to the naked eye, they seem to be just everything they should be. But still, experienced loggers, when they go into the woods to cut trees down, they won't even bother cutting them big, gigantic trees down. They'll pass right by them and go to the smaller or medium-sized ones. You know why that is? Because most of them big, big, giant, tall trees are hollow and rotten in the inside. And they know that. And so they will They will pass them by. And them big trees is where the raccoons go and make their nest because they rot on the inside and they can make a home. You ever heard the old saying, the bigger they are, the harder they fall? That truth applies to those trees. That's where that statement was originated, but it also applies to Christians. And considering the text we just read, these were some big-time Christian people. I mean, you couldn't find in that day any supposedly more devoted, serious, on fire, Jesus-loving disciples and Christians. And yet, here they are coming to the close of the time Jesus needed them most. They were headed toward the cross. They were getting near to when Jesus would be nailed to the cross and all of hell would come against him. And even, listen, everybody would forsake him. Even the Father in heaven was going to turn from Jesus. That's why Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And prior to that, just a few days and mere hours before that was to happen, Jesus looked at his inner circle, his chosen 12, and said, you're going to deny me, and you're going to forsake me, and you're going to run, and you're going to be scattered. And they didn't want to hear nothing of that. They said, everybody else may forsake you and everybody else may deny you, but not me. And of course, Peter's the one who had the mouth. He's the one who was willing to speak up and voice. Like, I know who the Peters are in this church. When there's 10 thinking it, I know the one. If there's 10 or 12 thinking it, I know the ones who's going to verbalize that. Some of you that never would. Some of you would be like Thomas or Matthew. You'd be quiet and you would tell Peter so that Peter could vocalize it and verbalize it. But here Peter was, and when Jesus said that, it stunned them. You can almost see the shock on their face, and they were taken back. And they said, not me? Not me? And again, it wasn't just Peter. It was every last one of them. And so with that in mind, preaching on the subject, never say never. Instead of just circling one of the disciples and just instead of focusing in on one mouthpiece and the one who was vocal and verbal, every one of us need to consider this tonight to never say never. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are, how long you've been saved, how mature you are, how much you love Jesus. The Bible still says pride cometh before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. And I would encourage you, don't ever say never. Don't ever say, I would never do that. I could give you, I'll just tell you, I remember some boys, some of my so-called friends coming by my house. I had never got into any sin that you would say was bad and wicked, and some of my friends, and by the way, they were church friends, boys I went to church with at Brown's Chapel. They come by my house one day down there beside where my mom and them used to live, and I remember them pulling up in my yard, and they got out and they had a glaze on their eyes and bloodshot eyes, and they got out just laughing and cackling and acting a fool, and they were high. They had been out smoking pot, my church buddies. And I remember looking at them and wagging my finger in their face and saying, y'all crazy. And I said this, brother, I said, I will. They said, come on, go with us. You'll love it. It's fun. And I said, I'll never do that. Less than 24 hours, I was riding up the road with them, in the truck with them, and eat them words. Are you listening? Don't ever say never. It's easy to be judgmental and look down on people and see other people's fault, but I promise you, you can be better be careful how you treat people and how you judge people when they're down, when they fall, because the Bible says, take heed lest ye. considering thyself. Amen. And so we don't want to admit it, but like the disciples, we don't ever want to say, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I believe I'll hold my tongue. I believe I'll just pray for them rather than judge them and talk about them. Because we don't want to admit that we could be them and that we could be standing in their shoes. And oftentimes we judge other people measuring their life by ours and how we're living today, not by how we could be tomorrow or next week. And you know that's true. Listen, we look at other people and we see things they do, places they go, and we hear things they say, and we, even if we don't say it, we think it. I would never go there. I would never say that. I would never fall like they did. I would never get a divorce. You better be careful. You better be careful. And I better be careful. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to us. Don't ever, never, never say never. And so, even though we wouldn't own up to it, we think we're better than that. Peter and these disciples, you could see it on their face, and you could almost hear the, what? Me? When Jesus said, yeah, you. And can you picture this and hear this? This ain't another disciple saying, you're going to fall. This ain't me preaching it. This ain't me saying it. This is none other, Miss Bonnie, than the Lord Jesus, who don't make mistakes, who don't tell lies, who don't exaggerate. And he's prophesying what's going to happen before the day's over. And rather than that humbling them, Brother Jimmy, you see their chest bulk out and their neck stiffen. They say, not never, not me. You ever said never? Only to regret it. And so, in this passage, Jesus deals with some of the men who saw themselves as these giant towering trees in the Christian life. And if you had to ask any of them, they would have told you that they were sold out. They were true disciples. They'd remind you, what do you mean, Jesus? I'm going to deny you? Did you forget, Lord? I left all. I left my fishing nets, and I left my old job, and I left my old friends, and I forsook all, and I'm following you. What do you mean I'm going to forsake you? That ought to be a bold reminder to all of us. If they could, we can. If Peter did, I can. If James did, you can. Here's what. If John, the beloved, the one who laid on the breast of Jesus, and the one who Jesus often referred to as that disciple that loved me, if he denied him, and he fled and he forsook, it ought to behoove us to never say never. Amen. I would never do that. And so let's as we look at these verses before us and just notice the conversation Jesus had with his men as they walked up towards walked from Jerusalem down through the Kidron Valley on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, they were headed to the garden where Jesus would be in such agony, to where he would ask God, the Father, let this cup pass from me. To where he was in such agony that his sweat become as great drops of blood. He was serious. He knew the stakes. He knew that he was about to purchase with his own blood salvation for all humanity. And he knew the devil wasn't going to take that sitting down. And he knew the devil was going to target those around him. And this was a sober, serious time. And he was trying to warn them. And here they are talking. And rather, listen, like so many of us, like I have been most of my life, I've had to learn. Any of y'all, I know y'all ain't like this. So I'll just preach at me and I'll use me. Since I am a member of a church where everybody else is so super spiritual. Oh, humor me for a minute. Any of y'all ever had to learn by the school of hard knocks? Any of y'all ever had to learn by experience? Or do you just hear a whisper from the Word and hear a nudge from the Lord and you say, oh, sure, Lord, I'll go that way? Or has God's Word said, don't do that, and then you just have to do it and get the tar beat out of you by the Lord and say, oh, yes, sir. Well, that's been the way I've... And so since that's the way I've been, I'm trying to get us all to say, if Peter did it, if James and John did it, we can. And so rather than having to get in this mess and have to be rebuked by the Lord and chastened by the Lord and let the devil get her testimony and hurt the name and the cause of Christ, why not take some preventative measure and say, I believe I'll learn from this one and not go about saying, I ain't never going to do that and I ain't better than them who did. I'm going to tell you something. Pride is eating the church from the inside out. Pride is that consuming, unseen cancer that crawls through the church, especially the Baptist church, especially an independent Baptist church. We think we're just a cut above when really we're just sinners saved by the grace of God, period. Pride is that toxinous, poisonous, unseen gas like carbon monoxide. You don't know it's getting it until you got. And so, just real quickly, let's look at a few of these truths. Number one, let me say a word about the prophecies made in verse 27. Look, if you will, again at verse 27. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye. There it is again. Prior to God telling us in that last phrase that they all did it, Jesus prophesied. Not just Peter, but it said, Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. As I said earlier, Jesus and his disciples on their way to Gethsemane. When they arrive, Jesus will pray that great prayer in John 17. Later, he'll be arrested and carried away for trial by his enemies. On the way to Gethsemane, Jesus had some things to say to his men that they needed to hear. We also need to hear what Jesus said to them and apply it to our own lives. Number one, a prophecy of a fall. Jesus says, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. The word offended means to make a stumble or to fall away. And Jesus is clearly telling these men, his disciples, that they will stumble, that they will fall because of him. Listen, get this now. They weren't going to trip into sin. They weren't going to fall in sin by getting drunk that night. Jesus said, you're not going to be offended this evening and stumble and fall by finding some prostitute or some woman of ill repute. No, you're going to stumble and you're going to fall this evening because of me. He's very specific about this prophesied fall that's coming. He said, you're going to be offended and you're going to deny and you're going to stumble and fall because of me. Now, probably everybody in here's hand would raise if you said, if I asked, anybody going to go get drunk tonight? Everybody would say, oh no, not me. That's good. Good. Praise the Lord. But if I asked this before the week's out, is anybody going to deny him? We'd probably all, without hesitation, say, oh, no, I wouldn't deny the Lord Jesus. I'm a Christian. I'm not going to deny him. See how easy and quick we are to say that? But I'm telling you, listen, you ever been at the job site? I ain't got time to tell this, but I will. Probably the best, strongest illustration I can ever remember in my life of this, of me denying the Lord and it costing me and somebody so bad. I was at Spartanburg Tech in college, and it was we'd go to school, Raymond, 8 weeks and do classwork. Jeff, you know, at Ford Asset, and then we'd go plus at a dealership, and then we'd go work 8 weeks, and then we'd come back. Well, it was the last day of that 8 week session at the school, and all of us boys, we were hanging out in the parking lot at Spartanburg Tech, and there was this big towering 6'5" boy, popular dude in the class, loud and popular and big, and he had all of them gathered over, and they was talking, oh man, we're going to party tonight, or we're going to party and celebrate. We done with this school for this time. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you need to go over and tell Jason that Jesus died on the cross for him and he needed to get saved. And I said, Lord, I can't do that. All these boys, this college, and he's a big dude. And I can't. And I just played it down. And the Holy Spirit, I mean, strongly said, you need to go witness to him. Like now. And I denied him. And I didn't do it. 8 weeks went by. I didn't think any more about it. 8 weeks went by. Went to work at the Ford place. Come back 8 weeks later. Come sit down in the class, which was the first day of class. It was usually loud and everybody's getting back together and asking what had been going on. And you could have heard a pin drop in that classroom. It was just like a eerie quiet in that room. And I come in a lot. I said, man, why y'all so quiet? Somebody die? They said, you ain't heard? I said, heard. They said, the last day we was here, remember Jason was all in the parking lot. He said, he stopped by the gas station about 3 miles from his house and got a case of beer. And he rounded the corner about a quarter mile from his house and went off the road and hit a fence. And a fence post come through that little S-10 and impaled him to his seat. And the truck caught on fire and it burned him to death. And he died and went to hell less than 2 hours after the Holy Spirit summons me to witness to that boy. And that boy died and went to hell because I denied him. I was offended at him. And I can't tell you how many nights I've woke up in a cold sweat, tears running down my face and seeing that boy screaming in the pits of hell because I denied him. So if the Lord nudges you, you ain't got to get drunk this week or go on a cussing spree or get caught up in adultery or fornication. You ain't got to do that to deny the Lord. You can just simply be offended at him and not want to speak his name and be a witness to him. And it caused somebody dying and going to hell over it. So if he nudges you, don't deny him, because he's not doing it just out of happenstance. We get our modern word scandal from that word, same word translated offended. And my, what a scandal it turned out to be. The Lord's disciples would be scandalized by the things that would happen to Jesus that night. Like the Jews, like all the Jews, they were offended by the thought of anyone dying on a cross, much less anyone that knew and were associated with him. The events of that night would cause them to rethink their association with Jesus and their allegiance to him. Before the night ended, every one of the disciples would abandon Jesus out of fear for their own lives. According to Mark chapter 14, verse 50. Matter of fact, we're right there. Just look over at verse 50. The Bible said, and they all forsook him and fled. And so we see a word about the prophecy of the fall, and then the prophecy of fulfillment. Jesus tells them that their failure would be the fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy. Zechariah 13:7 talks about all the sheep would scatter that night, and they did. Jesus, just as the betrayal of Jesus by Judas Iscariot had been a part of a divinely ordained plan, so would be their abandonment of the Lord. God knew before the foundations of the world was put that all his disciples would deny him, would be offended, and flee him that evening. Jesus was their shepherd, and when he was taken away from them, they quickly lost their way. They wandered from the path of closeness, and they strayed farther than they ever thought possible. Can I say this quickly? When you let distance get between you and the Lord, even if it's a little bit, there's no telling where that leads. It's very important to stay close to God. As the old preacher would say, keep short accounts with the Lord. Because just a little bit gets in between us. What's that old song say? Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Just a little bit is all it takes. Just enough for the devil to get between you and him. And we in trouble. And they wandered just a little bit, and next thing they know, they was denying him, and Peter was even cussing him, saying, I don't know that blankety-blank man. Yeah. This verse showcases the Lord's omniscience. We serve a Savior and a Lord who knows all things. The disciples surely thought that they were close to the Lord and secure from failing him. But his words were designed to show them that he knew far better than they knew themselves. And the same's true with us. God knows you. God knows me better than I do. God knows me better than you do. And he's warned us. Oh, just read the Bible and underline. I encourage you to do this. Read the Bible and underline every time you come to the word pride. It's all through the Bible. I mean all through. God hates pride. It's that abominable sin. What's that verse say? These six things do I hate, and the seventh is an abomination. It's pride. God hates it. It's what got the devil kicked out of heaven. He thought he could have sinned, and he deserved. I'm telling you, Lord, we cannot handle pride. Pride will handle us if we allow it to stay. He knows, God knows what we're capable of. Even when we don't. He knows the depths of the sin that resides in our heart. Do you know, hey listen, do you know this evening, probably about everybody knows my testimony and the depths of sin that I've been in. If you ain't been told by me or heard me preach it, you've been told by somebody, I'm sure, how deep I went in sin. And I thank God for grace. I thank him every day for the grace of God and for the blood of Jesus that, I mean, obliterates my sin. It's gone. So you may remember it and bring it up, and trust me, I remember it. The devil accuses me and reminds me every day. But like that old song, what sins are you talking about? God don't remember them. He chooses not to remember them anymore. But I've had people say, how could you ever do that? You was raised better than that. My mama told me, I raised you better than that, boy. And she did. But you know what the reality of it is? We, being saved, are as capable as doing anything we ever done while we were lost. And more. Being saved does not secure you from sin. A close walk with Jesus, and even that, it's a one step at a time, one day at a time, one decision at a time. They were walking and talking with Jesus. And hours later, they were denying him that they ever knew him. It's critical, critically important that we keep close to him. We deceive ourselves into thinking that because we're saved, we have reached a place where we're no longer tempted and can fail. And we think, well, they might, but not me. The truth is, it's just the grace of God that we are not out of God's will, out of church, and shaming His name today. It's the grace of God. I just put this down on the bottom shelf and say it simple as I know how. Please don't ever say never. And please don't ever look at other people who are down and put a foot on their neck and throw words out there. Because listen, you know whose side you're joining? You know what one of the names of the devil is? The accuser of the brethren. Are you listening? So who do you think you're helping? Who do I think I'm helping when we hear that somebody's fallen in sin? Let a preacher fall, and it's a nationwide, I mean, it spreads faster than fire on a dry day. Let a Christian who's lived for God a long time, let them sin or fall or fail, and it's big news. But what good does it do for us to peddle that and push that and talk about it and promote it? It would do us all good to say, oh, God, if they fail, I can. And so rather than me putting them down and accusing them and joining up with the devil and talking about them, and that ain't helping them, let me pray for them. Because if they've ever needed prayer, it's now. The devil's trying to accuse them and convince them. They've fallen and they too far gone and nobody loves them and the whole world, God ain't never going to receive them again. The church don't love them no more. And they're finished and they're done. They don't need Christian. If they ever needed a Christian brother and a friend, it's them. And we don't need to join up with the devil and his crowd and accuse them and hurt them and push them. No, they need. I want our church to have a testimony that, hey, like Jesus, we are a friend of sinners. That we will love you no matter the condition you're in. That no matter how bad you fall, and we will receive you gladly and try to restore you. That's the message of the Word of God. You remember that, what's that parable, the Good Samaritan? Remember on that road when those religious people come and saw the condition, they just passed them by? We better than that. I ain't got time for that. You know, that's how most churches are, and that's how they treat sinners. God, help us never to be that. Help us never to be. Help us to have a testimony, not just in word, but in deed, that we will take people. The church I was a member at down in Georgia, it was a big, big church. You know one of the reasons it was big, Miss Bonnie? Because they loved sinners just like they was where they was, and they'd take them in and help them. That's how I ended up there. That bad testimony and the depths of sin I was in, you know how I ended up down there? Because God led me to a place where I could just be loved and me and Jenny could just be restored. When everybody didn't know her business or care, they just wanted to help people. And when they heard about it and found out about it, they didn't condemn me. They didn't put me down. They lifted me up and helped me and restored me. I want our church to have that testimony. Listen, I have a lot of failures and a lot of shortcomings. And you can ask my wife, one thing that since I went through that, one thing that God helped me with, I don't look down on nobody. I can't. How can I look down on anybody? I've been there, and I've been lower than they are. You know what I want to do when I see somebody down? I want to help them. I want to encourage them, have compassion on them. And help them. And so that's the heart of God. God knows the problems you have with your flesh. He knows the potential you have with sin. He knows the pull of temptation in your life. And He knows the full possibilities of sin in your life. He knows. He knew it before they'd done it. So you know He knows it when we do it. The Bible says He knows our thoughts afar off. If He knows our thoughts, He knows our deeds. So that's some prophecies. And in about 30 seconds, some promises. On the heels of this shocking prophecy, the Lord gives His men some precious promises. When Jesus told them that they would forsake Him, they were shaken to the core. They were upset and needed something to bring peace to their hearts. And what he said to them next spoke peace into their troubled hearts. And it brings peace to my heart. It was a promise of the resurrection. He said, after I am risen, Jesus had just told these men that he was going to die for their sin. He said, but I will rise again. In other words, after you fall, because I will fall to the ground and be buried, I will rise again, and I'm giving you hope that I'll restore you again. And after you fail me, after you fall, after you do what you said you'd never do, I'll come back and restore you and lift you and use you. And he did. He used these disciples, these who failed, these who got full of pride and forsook him and denied him. After that fall, after he gutted their pride problem, it was Peter, the cussing preacher, the denying preacher. It was Peter who Jesus said, hey, disciples, y'all come on. And by the way, make sure you tell Peter. I want him to. And he brought Peter back and personally ministered to Peter. And then he called Peter and used Peter at the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 were saved. Most churches in America, most preachers in America wouldn't even allow, and they'd say, he's disqualified. He's got to be on probation. He ain't been enough time since that cussing streak he went on. He ain't got no business being in a pulpit with a Bible in his hand. But God said, come on, Peter, I want you to preach today. And Peter got up humbly. You know he was humbled. He thought he'd never preach again. Thought he'd never be used again. And so this never say never, it works both ways. Never say never that you'll fall, but never say never when it comes to God using you. Because even when you fall in the worst and you went the deepest, don't ever, ever, ever think God's finished with you. Because he ain't. I remember saying, just like I told them boys, I'll never do that. I remember telling people and God, I'll never preach again. I'm done. Not because I didn't want to, because I thought I'd went too far and done too bad wrong. And God proved to me he's so faithful to never say never. He ain't finished with you. He wasn't finished with me. And so, trust me, where sin did abound, grace does much more abound. He still has a purpose for you. He still has a greater yes for you. He did with them, and he promised them that he would use them. The cross was not only the Lord's final stop. He would die on that cross, pay for their sin, and satisfy all the righteous demands of God towards sin. He would give his life, the innocent for the guilty, so that the lost sinner would have an opportunity to be saved by God's grace. A promise about the resurrection and a promise about restoration. He said, I will go before you into Galilee. Jesus had just told them that they are going to forsake him. He was has told them that they would be scandalized by him and that they will leave him, even falling away from him. However, his words here promised them restoration, forgiveness on the other side of failure. These men would fail God and they would fail him in a big way. Peter would deny him, cuss him, and forsake him, yet Jesus would restore him and use him. Literally, I'm done. Literally, these same forsakers, these same deniers, these same failures, I'm done, but get this last word, the same men who failed him, the same men who was offended, God used to literally turn the world upside down for the glory of God. Don't ever say never. God ain't finished with you. Let's stand. Lord, in Jesus' name, take your word. Help us. Lord, I pray you'd encourage somebody tonight. God, I pray first of all, Lord, you'd help us to see, oh God, how dangerous it is to get pride in our heart, Lord, and to have the mentality, Lord, God, we could never do this or that. Oh God, help us take heed lest we fall. God, I pray, Lord, you'd also for that one, Lord, it may feel, God, they've done too wrong, and Lord, they're discounted, or God, been put on a shelf. Lord, I pray you'd encourage them tonight, and Lord, help them to see in the eyes of God, there's a never-say-never attitude, Lord, and you're not finished with them yet. And God, you have a place of service for them and for us, and Lord, I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, God, for never giving up on me, Lord. Never giving up on these. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.